Love and Intimacy for the
Love
Disabled.
Hope Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. I am your host, Stephanie Wallace, soon to be joined by co-host Tyson Cherry. Tonight, we are going to jump right into our topic. Our topic tonight is sex toys. Hold on, let Tyson in for a second. Hold on. No, not yet. Hold on. But I'm sorry. Our topic tonight is sex toys. Are they okay to have in the bedroom, you know, during, in a relationship? Or is this something just for private use? Hold on. Here's Tyson. Hey, Tyson.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good. Glad you can join us. I just jumped right into tonight's topic. Let me backtrack a little. I recently went to a toy party, my first time ever. I was really a little bit apprehensive about going. Actually, earlier in the day, I had went to a birthday party, a 70th birthday party for an evangelist. And then I turned right around and went from that party to a sex toy party. That was interesting. But it was interesting. I had a very good time. I had a lot of fun. And I wasn't as embarrassed as I thought I would be. I thought I would be very embarrassed and shy, but I wasn't. Because it was a party. And then there was a presentation of the different things that they have available, different things from pheromones, like a spray or a perfume sort of, and pheromones are natural, like a natural thing your body gives off that attracts the opposite sex. And so, you know, they had those, they had different lubes and, you know, different things for men and women, mostly women, because there were only a couple of men at the party. And but mostly it was a party for women. So a majority of the things were for women. It was very interesting things that they had. Now the question, tonight's question that we're asking are sex toys in the bedroom a good idea or not? We're used to, you know, hearing about people alone with, you know, sex toys or whatever. But how does that, two things I wanted to hit on tonight is the sex toys in the bedroom. Is that an intimidating thing for a partner? You know, if you go through your partner's underwear drawer and find sex toys, is this something like, oh, yeah, you know, or is it like, do you feel a little like, not intimidated, but uncomfortable with them having these toys? And another thing I wanted to discuss is sex toys for people with disabilities, because sometimes having traditional sex is not a possibility, you know, according to a person's disability and how their body is. So this might be a viable option for them, you know, to use sex toys with their partners. So we'll go first with the being uncomfortable, you know, is this a good idea or not to have sex toys in the bedroom? How do you think you would feel if you found sex toys, your partner's sex toys? Tyson? Are you there? Well, what happened? Hold on.
Yes.
Are you there, Tyson?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't know what had happened, but good.
Yes.
What do you? How do you think you would feel if you?
I feel that if there's a dildo inside, it'll be uncomfortable. It'll feel like you're in competition. You see, Some men don't want that. They do not allow that in the bedroom. Some men don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand that. I understand, yes. Yes, I do.
Do you feel like that's saying, like the woman is saying that you're not enough if she needs that?
Yes, yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's interesting. I don't personally think that that's what it says, but I do understand how it can be intimidating. I can recall, this is very personal, but once I saw my husband watching porn. I'm not married now, my ex-husband, watching porn,
yes.
And I got very offended, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and at the time, I was also very religious, so that
mm-hmm.
could have been, you know, part of it also. I think now I'm more open-minded and understand that people, you know, the world doesn't just work the way I work. There,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
people have many different things. And in terms of finding, you know, your partner's sex toys and then feeling like, you know, you're in competition, I think that sometimes, like with a woman, you know, in using sex toys, from my understanding, that you learn better sometimes how to please yourself than,
yes.
you know, but that doesn't mean that it's competition, because there are certain things that a human can provide.
It depends on what the item is, yeah, I believe too. Yeah.
What kind of what?
What kind of item it is, you see?
Because
I know
mm-hmm.
there's all different items there are, I believe. There's all different types of items you can use.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, what about...
I believe it's just the fact that enough of a unit diesel in the bubble that makes it seem like you have a diesel with another man.
Mm-hmm.
Just, mm-hmm, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the man feel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to, I see we have a caller. I'm going to go to the caller and see what the caller's opinion is. Hold on for a second, Tyson. Hi, caller, how are you? Caller 3721, you're on the air. Would you like to speak?
Yes, hey, Tyson and Stephanie, how are you two?
Hi, Alberto.
Great.
Do you have an opinion on this? If you found your partner's sex toys, would you feel uncomfortable?
Well, me personally, I mean, I would not so much uncomfortable, but, you know, just the fact that, you know, okay, that they hid it from me, that would make me uncomfortable. The fact that they didn't tell me.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't even thinking of it in terms of,
no.
Oh, so you want to know when it's being
yeah.
purchased.
You know, like, or not so much when, but, like, if they have it or that they're thinking about getting it or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, you know, because it's all about, you know, being openness and trust, you know, open
mm-hmm.
and, you know, trusting your partner and stuff.
So
you want to
have that conversation first before your first, and then proceed it together.
It doesn't necessarily have to be first, but okay, like say if
mm-hmm.
I have some, if I'm dating someone and they, you know, they buy it, you know, and I don't know about it, but they come and tell me, that's cool, you know, I'll be fine with that. But like if I were to find out, you know, and they didn't tell me, I think that would bother me.
What if it was there before you?
Huh?
What if it was something she had before you? Before, you know, you got together with her, does she have to let you know that she has it, or would you still be offended then if you found it? She had it before you, before
and
she
that's
met
really
you.
Good. And that's a very cool, that's a very good question. I don't know, you know, because it depends on, how, I guess it depends on, like, how long we're dating and stuff like that. So, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's for me, it's not whether or not she has it. I mean, you know, but, hey, I'd rather her play with herself, you know, pleasure herself or whatever, than, you know, go cheat and then cheat on me, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but yeah, it's for me, you know, for me personally, conversation is important, you know, in a communication. Because
mm-hmm.
yes. for me personally,
yes.
if you don't have the communication and stuff in a relationship, then you don't have nothing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about being in a relationship as a person with a disability, and you may not be able to have sex in the traditional way. So you introduce toys into the relationship as a couple, you know.
I believe if it's a good, if I go to the store together, that's different, you see. Like
mm-hmm.
the bird says, I don't want the person to be high, item from me, you see. Yes. Don't hide the items, no.
Yeah, no, not at hiding. I'm just talking about now, you know, you're in a relationship. You realize, you know, okay, our disabilities don't work together. We're not able to have intercourse in a traditional way, but we want to be intimate with each other. You decide,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's go toy shopping or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that? Is that acceptable?
Me personally, I think it's fine. Sure, why not? I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's you know, it's part of doing something together. Yeah, why not, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's the statement. If
you
know, go check out those two stores, you see, just go
I'm sorry, Tyson, what did you say?
To the store. Go together to the store. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I have another caller. So, Norberto, I'm going to say thank you very much for calling in. I'm going to put you back on listen, and I'm going to take the other caller, okay?
Great.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Call of Song Series, how are you?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Would you like to join the conversation?
Oh, yeah. I figured this was a topic I was somewhat familiar with, and I thought you needed an extra lady's point of view in there.
Thank you.
I sympathize with the guys here, and I kind of share some of their points of view in that I think it can be kind of surprising if you're in a relationship that didn't previously have any sex toys involved in it, and then suddenly you were to stumble upon that. It might take you aback. And I have to say, you know, like you years ago, if I would have encountered my partner at the time using sex toys and not discussing it with me, I probably would have felt hurt, like, you know, do you not want me? Do you not want to spend time with me? But
am I not enough?
Yeah, am I not enough? But I don't know, as I've gotten a little older, a little wiser, and my physical needs have changed how intimacy works for me, I'm a little more open-minded about those kinds of things. And I think, you know, the main thing is to discuss it, you know, I think if you're involving toys in the bedroom, you know, to kind of feel out, you know, what's comfortable for each partner, I think
mm-hmm.
it can be an enhancer. But it does definitely need some discussion. And I think as far as, you know, individual needs, I think what was said before, you know, we're all human. We have needs, and sometimes for various reasons, our partners aren't able to fulfill those needs at a particular moment. So I think it can, you know, sometimes the toys can be helpful. Can be helpful in those moments.
Do you think that there's two? I think. Well, I'm gonna make a statement instead of ask a question. I think we have so much pressure on us to be what is it? Satisfying sexually. I mean, everybody wants to be satisfied sexually, but you're not going to hit the mark every time.
Right, absolutely.
You're not. You know, so as, you know, a person may go turn to toys so that they may be satisfied, especially dealing with somebody, let's say with a disability who, you know, may have some issues, you know, with their body or whatever. And I see how, you know, like you were saying, you know, am I not enough? You know,
mm-hmm.
Do you want me or whatever? That's a tough conversation to have.
Sure. It definitely
with somebody. That is a really tough conversation to have. And I'm imagining for the guys to come, because some of the things that I saw at the party were like, ooh, wow, you know.
Some of those things are
I could imagine everything wasn't so dainty and pink, you know what I mean? I could imagine a guy seeing something like that in his wife's underwear weird drawer or his girlfriend or whatever it is, and, like, you know, feeling inadequate, you know, compared to that. But then again, on the other side, as I was trying to say before, there are certain things that only a human can provide. The warmth, the love, the desire.
Right.
You know, all of those things play a big part in, you know, in satisfying a person. So that might just be the sex toys are just a physical thing, but everything else that comes with it, you can only get from a human.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, when you're utilizing sex toys in the bedroom, if there are physical challenges that the person has, I don't know, as a woman, I just see it as an extension of my partner. I don't see it as a separate object. I see it as just another tool to enhance our lovemaking.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I gotta say, you know, like you were saying, a lot of these. I haven't been to any of these parties or anything, but in researching non-toxic sex toys, a lot of the devices that are out there are downright scary looking.
Yeah.
So I mean, there are some.
Yeah.
Things, you know,
it's like,
go
who
for it,
is
but,
this?
Yeah.
When you look at some of them, you get the feeling like this is, you know, what you may have always thought about sex toys before it became. I think it's more acceptable now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, it seemed like a seedy type of thing, you know, something you're going to find in a dark alley, you know, the stores or whatever, you know. And some of the things you see, you're like, okay, that must be who that's for, those, you know, other people, the dark side, you know, or something like that. Because there's no way, you know.
There's just something for everyone, you know.
Yeah, but it was an interesting experience because, I tell you, if I were a shoe, I'd probably be a plain tan shoe, just like very plain. I'm very plain. Always have been, you know, so, and I think there are certain things that I prefer not to share, until I get on the radio, then I share everything, but I think there are things that I prefer to keep private, you know, so sitting there was sort of like, I was kind of out of my element, and I for days, I had to talk myself into this, and okay, you're going to be okay. It's not, you know, it's not like I'm getting up there demonstrating anything. You know what I mean? All I had to do is sit there. But so many things were racing through my head. You know, even to the point of, you know, there was alcohol there. I'm not a drinker, but I was like, am I going to have a drink? Then I was like, no, I can't have a drink because I have my scooter and it's irresponsible to drink and drive, and I might overshoot the list on the accessory ride and fall off. I'm telling you, I'm neurotic when it comes to certain things. And so this was like, I was out of my element, but I think I'm starting to relax. And just understanding and being more open to the fact, you know, like you said, there's something out there for everyone.
Yep.
They even had something for guys, and it was like a, I don't know what you want to call it. It was a cylinder shaped thing, and it was moist. And it had a hole, and, you know, it was for the guys to, it was like a foamy type of thing. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. They have everything.
Yep.
They have
sure
everything. They have everything. And I think it's a good alternative for people with disabilities who are not ready to date, you know, who are not ready to, you know, get involved in an intimate relationship if they can use these things. You know, we were even talking about making adaptable sex toys.
Right, right. Earlier this year, I went to a convention where they were showing how to create silicone dildos out of your partner. You know, make molds and things like that.
Oh, like a mold.
Mm-hmm.
The mold.
Yeah. So if your partner isn't always physically ready, and
mm-hmm.
the partner isn't always quite, you know, not quite comfortable with the idea of you getting, you know, the mega dong from the local store, you can
right.
get, you know, you can mold a shape, and you know, it's like, well, it's a replica of you, so I'm, you know, we're
now
still doing what we need to do.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How do you feel about that, Tyson?
Just fine, yes. But I'm really surprised to hear about Justin was at this party. I ain't no mean go to parties like this.
There were a couple. One was the DJ, and the other one was there. You know, was a friend of somebody at the party. It wasn't like a fully integrated party. There were a couple of men there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
No, and another guy came too. Another guy came also. But it wasn't
mm-hmm.
fully integrated. I think that would be really uncomfortable for me to have a fully integrated men and women's. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll come out of my box, out of my shell.
But was this for this only, or was it mixed?
Pardon me. It was basically a woman's party, and there was
yeah.
one guy there. He was the DJ. And there were a couple of other guys, just a couple of other guys. They were there
okay.
at the party.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like,
so this was a friend
they
kind of
played
like
the background.
This?
Pardon me?
This was a friend of yours that gave this party, or
excuse
you heard about on the internet?
I'm sorry, say it one more time.
Was this a friend of yours that gave the party?
Oh, yeah, this was somebody I know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody I know. But it was interesting. It was really interesting. And I wonder how I myself would feel, you know, finding, I think anything, yeah, I think it would feel like competition. As much as I would try to understand, I think it would feel like competition.
Yes.
You know, I think it would. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
very interesting. You know, to come home and find something like that, or even if you had it before we became involved, it's like, okay, you can get rid of that now. I'm here. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But given you know my condition, I would have to be understanding.
Yeah.
To certain
but
things.
But y'all discuss it first, you see, had a proper conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
yeah.
Definitely communication is really important, and also balancing
yes.
things out I think is important too. If you notice that your partner's spending more time with the toy than with you, then it's definitely time to have a serious chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, I can see where that can happen, because
yeah.
if you are a single person, if you're single and this is your go-to thing, you know, and then you get involved in a relationship. You have your go-to thing. You know how to please yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, when you get involved in a new relationship, there's a lot of getting to know each other, a lot of hit and miss, you know, or whatever. And so I see how it could become a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see how it could become a problem. You know, like I was explaining earlier about the ex-husband and the porn, it's like, you know, we were newly married. And it's like, okay, but it didn't mean, as he explained to me, it doesn't mean I don't want you. It just means I like this too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was, but to me, it was totally offensive. It was, you know, but that was, more so in my I see where it can be an enhancement now, but like you said, with balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with balance, definitely.
And I think in each relationship that where the balance is, it varies a lot. There are some couples that I think I've heard from friends who are very, very much into watching porn together and using all sorts of wild toys and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for others, it would be like, no way, we wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. So each couple's comfort level has to be established. And I think the biggest challenge is when you have a couple where one is very, very much into maybe toys and pornography and things like that, and the other is
mm-hmm.
very, very, you know, not for that. So.
Right.
So, no easy answers for that one.
I think, you know, nowadays things are more open and more liberal. Coming back from when, I'll say, I came up, and before maybe, just simply that's masturbation, and if you came up in a religious setting, it was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was wrong. You know,
yeah.
You have this feeling like God is watching you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it is just wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and navigating, you know, that, you know, especially when I go back to being a person with a disability, because it doesn't exclude us from our needs, from having sexual needs, from wanting to be intimate, from wanting to be sexually satisfied. It doesn't exclude us just because we have disabilities. And if you are not, I mean, I've heard that me and another disabled woman were having a conversation with her. It was said that disabled people get married at the same rate as non-disabled people. But I don't know if I believe that too much.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's as easy for us to date. I don't think it's as easy for us to find a mate and to find somebody who you are so comfortable with. As to be intimate, not to, you know, find somebody to date, but to actually find someone. Go ahead, Tyson.
It's harder, I guess. I believe it's harder.
Mhm. Yeah, it is harder, and so, you know, to this might be just a very viable option for, you know, people with disabilities and to help with certain frustrations. But I wonder about people who can't do this for themselves. You know, that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole different topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people can't. Ooh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even use toys for themselves. You know, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to see. Oh, we only have 1 minute and 57 seconds left for the show.
Mm-hmm. Let them know to leave the comments at the bottom of the show, because we'd like to hear from you, please. Mm-hmm.
Yes, please leave comments on the Facebook page, which is Laid Love and Intimacy for the Disabled, or on the Twitter page at Laid Safe Space. Also, you can leave comments in the Laid mail email bag at loveandintimacyforthedisabled@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment here on the Blog Talk Radio page. Don't forget to subscribe to the page, to the Blog Talk page, so that you can get updates and you can know when the next show is coming on. Song Cirrus, is that how to pronounce it? Song Cirrus?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for your contribution. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye.
All righty. Thank you so much. Good night. All right, Tyson?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another good show.
Yes, it was.
I'll see you next week. We'll be putting on the Facebook page what the next topic will be. So look for it.
Yes.
Thank you, guys,
and
good night.
Okay, good night.
Good night, Tyson.